Lord willing, this evening we're going to be looking at Mark chapter 10, but I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 6. The greatest sermon that was ever preached in this world is recorded right here in chapters 5 and 6 and 7. In this Sermon on the Mount, our Lord Jesus addresses some of the most basic questions that all of us have. What is life all about? How can I be happy? What does God want me to do? These are important questions. Matthew chapter 6, verses 24 through 34. Jesus' words, no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will love, be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, or God and money, or God and riches, or God and things. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not the life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit, that is 18 inches, can add one cubit to his height or his stature? So, why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about your tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Three times Jesus says the same thing. Do not worry. Jesus is saying to the people of his kingdom, do not worry. And then he says, why do you worry about things? Your heavenly Father already knows what you really need. He knows how to care for you, so you and I need to trust him. For a lot of people, Jesus' teaching just seems just too simplistic for us. After all, we live in a modern, complicated, computerized, crazy world. It's estimated that about 40 million people in the U.S. suffer from some form of anxiety disorder. They get anxious about things over and over and all the time, again and again. Medical professionals tell us that anxiety is a normal biological reaction to people and things and situations around us. Anxiety is a God-given emotional response that helps us act appropriately when we are in times of danger and trouble. But when anxiety becomes persistent, when it is irrational or overwhelming, to the point that it interferes with our normal activities, then we have a problem. We have to deal with this problem of being anxious. Is anxiety a sin problem? I've asked that question. Is it? It may be. It may be. Not necessarily, but it may be a sin problem. It depends on whether or not we're trusting God. And it's when you get anxious about things, and you're not trusting the Lord, it's certainly a sin problem. Or if we're looking to ourselves or we're looking to someone else for answers to all the what-if questions. What-if questions. People have what-if questions. What if there's a fire and my house burns down? What if I get cancer? What if I lose my job? What if I get pregnant? What if Social Security goes bankrupt? What if? What if I don't have enough money when I retire? What if I get trapped in an elevator? What if the bridge I'm traveling over falls down? What if my car breaks down? What if my husband dies? What if my wife dies? What if my children don't turn out right? So what are we supposed to do when we become overwhelmed with all these what-ifs? Number one, we look for answers in God's Word. Look for answers in the Word of God. And I know that for a lot of people that sounds too simplistic. But it's true. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scriptures given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, righteousness, that the man of God and the people of God should be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Proverbs chapter 3, the first couple of verses. My son, do not forget my law, do not forget my word, my Torah. But let your heart keep my commands for length of days and long life and peace. They will add to you. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. What about all these what if? Well, we need to look for answers in God's Word. Secondly, some of you that have ongoing issues with anxiety disorders might be helped if you go to see a medical doctor for a checkup. Jesus said in the text that Stephen quoted from Matthew 9:12, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. So the implication is if you're sick, you're really sick, you need to go to see a doctor. Emotional, psychological sicknesses are real, and sometimes they're more dangerous and debilitating than physical problems. The therefore in verse 25 connects everything that Jesus had been saying with that which he is about to say. No man can serve two masters, two lords. You can't live for God and live for money or live for things. You can't live for God and follow your own whims. You can't do your own thing. We're saved from doing our own thing. If you try, you're only going to get miserable. You're only going to get anxious and fearful and frustrated, and you end up in trouble. Worry is the natural result of having our thoughts, affections, and desires focused on ourselves, or on things, or on the people around us. Instead of focusing our thoughts and our affections and our desires upon the God who made us. So Jesus says, do not worry about your life. And the Greek word that he uses here for worry comes from a root word that means to divide or to separate. Same Greek word is sometimes used in a positive way. For instance, in 1 Corinthians 12:25, Paul says that there should be no schism in the body, speaking of the church, but that the members should have the same, and here's the word, same care, the same loving concern and devotion for one another. It's also used in Philippians 2:20. He says, I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. But Jesus isn't talking here about having the loving concern and care for others. He's talking about being fearful and frustrated and having an inordinate love and concern for yourself. In an article written by Paul Tripp, he says this. He says, worry is one of the dirty secrets of the church. Perhaps it renders us timid or passive and doubtful when our theology tells us that we have every reason to be courageous and active and confident. The difficulties of life in this fallen world are the occasion of our worry, but not the cause. Worry is not caused by what exists out of us. Worry is caused by what is going on inside of us. Sin causes every one of us to live for ourselves. That is to shrink our lives to the size of our lives. Sin makes us scarily self-focused, self-absorbed, and self-motivated. Without realizing what we've done, we begin to look for identity, meaning, purpose, and our inner sense of well-being horizontally. We look to the broken and ever-changing situations and hardships of this fallen world for our purpose and our inner rest. And then we can get anxious and fearful, and sometimes, and then it can devolve into depression. And for the most part, disoriented, self-oriented thoughts are what really cause us to be anxious and to be worried. So Jesus says, don't worry. He uses a present tense imperative verb, literally stop stressing yourselves out. Stop thinking so much about yourself and all of the what ifs. And Jesus gives us then four reasons for why you and I should not worry. Four reasons. Reason number one, worry is an expression of unbelief, verses 25 and 26. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you drink, nor for your body, what you will put on. Is not the life more than food, and the body than more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more worth value than they? It may have been when Jesus was teaching these people on the Sea of Galilee that he looked up and there was a flock of birds flying by. And he pointed to them and he says, look at the birds of the air. He said, they don't plow and they don't plant and they eat. How? How do they eat? It's called God's providence. God takes care of them. And I was asking Florence this morning about birds. How much do birds eat? Do you know how much they eat? We often have an expression. Expression, so-and-so eats like a bird. We mean that to say they don't eat very much, just like a bird. The truth is, birds eat a lot. A lot. Comparatively speaking, most birds eat a lot more than people do. They eat at least about 50% of their body weight. Who eats that much? Anybody? Every single day, they eat 50% of their body weight, and hummingbirds eat more than their body weight. By comparison, elephants eat 2% of their body weight. And here's the point. If God takes care of the hummingbirds and the eagles and the pigeons and the crows and the hawks and the cardinals, can't forget the cardinals, what do we have to worry about? He says, you and I are a lot more valuable than the birds and the crows and the grackles. They don't have grackles here, but they have them down in Florida. Notice that Jesus doesn't say, referring to the birds, their heavenly Father feeds them. What does the scripture say? Your heavenly Father feeds them. Verses 28 through 30, one can almost see Jesus pointing out to the field over there, a field that's full of flowers, and he says something like this, look, look, look how beautiful that field is. Your heavenly Father put all those colorful flowers in that field. And if God dresses the fields and they look so beautiful, do you suppose he's not going to dress you? Sure he will. Sure he will. Oh, you of little faith. Worry is a failure to trust God's provision for us. When we worry, we're in effect saying, Lord, I don't think you really know what I need. I don't really think you know what's best for me. And there's a sense in which our worry can sometimes be an emotional protest against God himself, against his providential care of us. Lord, I don't think you understand. Second reason why we shouldn't worry. First reason is it's an expression of unbelief. And that's a sin. Second reason is that worry doesn't do any good. Verse 27. Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? What does it do for you? Worry doesn't change anything. Doesn't help anything. It never fixes anything. So why do you worry? What good is it? Worry doesn't help us. In fact, the reality is it hurts us. Worry hurts us. Psalm 37:8, do not fret or worry. It only causes harm. I was looking on WebMD. On the internet, here's what it says about anxiety or worry. Anxiety suppresses the immune system. Anxiety causes digestive and respiratory disorders. It causes muscle tension, short-term memory loss. It causes premature coronary artery disease. It causes heart disease. Proverbs 12:25, anxiety in the heart of man causes depression. Third, worry is an expression of unbelief. Worry doesn't do any good. Third, worry makes us like the rest of the world. Verse 31. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we drink, or what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. The world worries because they don't know God. He speaks of the Gentiles. Gentiles could be peoples of the world, the nations, the multitudes. When we worry, we bring ourselves down level to those, the rest of the unbelieving world. People who don't know God, people who live as if there is no God, because they're living for themselves and they live according to this uncertain world. God knows what we really need. He knows that you and I have to eat. He knows that we need to drink. He knows that we need something to put on. And sometimes we forget what the Bible says. Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now I personalized it. That text says, My God shall supply all your need according to your His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. But I like to talk about me, but the reality is it's all of us. You know, the Lord will supply all our need. Psalm 84:11, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly. Romans 8:32, He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Fourth reason why we shouldn't worry is because God is our King. God is our King. Verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. God is our King. And His kingdom rules over all. God is King over all circumstances and situations and people. All of them are under His sovereign, meticulous providence and His government and His control. Psalm 97, verse 1, the Lord reigns, let the earth rejoice, let the multitude of isles be glad. Psalm 115, 3, but our God is in the heavens and He does whatever He pleases. Daniel chapter 4, God does according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the world. No one can restrain His hand. No one can say to Him, what are you doing? Verse 34, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Only God knows what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know. Some of us think we know, but we really don't know. Most of us don't even have a clue. But God knows. How does He know? Because He's already predetermined what is going to happen tomorrow. And some people say, well, I don't know if I like that. Well, I love it. I'm glad that He's in control. Absolutely in control of all things. True faith says, I know all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose. So that's the text. What are some lessons? Well, the lesson, let's not forget what he said. Do not worry. Stop worrying. The first lesson is the lesson of faith and freedom. What's the opposite of faith? Unbelief. But surely worry is opposite to faith. It's not trusting in God. John 8:32, you shall know the truth and the truth will set you free. Believing the truth about our sovereign, loving, patient, generous, wise, Father and compassionate Lord Jesus makes us free. Free from the dominion of our sin. Free from paralyzing fears of all the what ifs. There's a lot of what ifs in the world. There's a lot of what ifs in our minds. What ifs? What if the lights go out? Well, we don't live in California. They got the rolling blackouts. What if the homeless people take over the streets? Well, that happens in California too. What if? What if? What if? Faith frees us from all the paralyzing fears and the what ifs. At the same time, there's a sense in which we're not free. We're not free to be lazy, undisciplined, and irresponsible. God provides food for the birds and all His creatures, but the birds and all the creatures have to go after it. The manna miraculously appeared every single morning for the Israelites in the wilderness. It just appeared, but they had to go out and gather it. You and I have to be responsible and we have to be faithful to go and do what we know God wants us to go and do, where He wants us to go, what He wants us to do. And God doesn't want us to become fixated upon ourselves. That's when we worry. That's why we worry. God wants you and I, verse 33, to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. Second, we're not free to be lazy. We're not freed from trouble. To be free from trouble and to be free from worry is not the same thing. God clothes the grass of the field, but tomorrow is thrown into the oven. God feeds the sparrow, and He sees every single one that falls to the ground, but they do fall to the ground. God doesn't promise any one of us a trouble-free life. What if the dishwasher breaks? What if the air conditioner breaks? What if He doesn't promise a trouble-free life? In fact, verse 34 seems to indicate that every single day there's going to be some kind of trouble. And the reason is we live in a sinful world. Our Father's promise is that He's going to use the troubles and the trials that He brings into our lives for our good. And the question is, are we trusting God? Do we trust God to take care of all the things that are around us and use troubles and trials for our good? Do we trust Him? Or are we going to worry? Or just we going to just worry? Trusting God and worrying cannot coexist at the same time. Freedom from worry is not based upon some imaginary guarantee that God's never going to let anything bad happen to me. Nothing hard is ever going to happen to me. Nothing painful. That's not faith. Faith believes God is in control of everything and what He's going to use in this sinful world. He's changing me. He's using these big, bad, hard, difficult things in my life for my good. And faith believes that. Freedom from worry is based on our belief that our Heavenly Father is a loving, sovereign, good, wise, generous God in control of the whole world and all situations. 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear or worry, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." We're liberated from worry only when we begin to understand that God, in His infinite wisdom and ways, uses problems and troubles and pains to promote what is really good in my life. And in your life, God knows. He knows me and He cares about me. He knows everything about you and He cares. And that's what all the Bible is all about, telling us who God is. The biblical accounts of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Job and Ruth and Naomi and Esther and David and Elijah, all of them had problems. Lots of problems. Either trust God or you worry. The second lesson is a lesson of living one day at a time. And we see that in verse 34. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the worry or the trouble, its own trouble. I only have today. This is today. One day at a time. Live one day at a time. Only God knows what's going to happen tomorrow, if He even gives me a tomorrow. But this is the day that the Lord has made. We will be glad and rejoice in it. So we need to live every day one day at a time. How do we do it? By faith. By trusting God. The just shall live by faith. A hymn that some of us know goes like this: day by day and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what he deems best. Lovingly it's part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and with rest. That brings to the third lesson for me, anyhow. Third lesson is a lesson of peace. You've heard me say this before. Peace is not the absence of conflict or controversy or problems or suffering. True peace is the presence of God in the midst of the conflicts, in the midst of the controversies, in the midst of the pain, in the midst of the sufferings. It's the presence of God. How do I know that? Jesus says it. Scripture says it. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Philippians 4:6-7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Isaiah 26:3-4. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon you. Because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever. For in Yah the Lord is everlasting strength. Here's the last word. Do not worry about your life. Now, Christians, that's the last word for Christians. And there's some people here that don't know the Lord. And some of them worry and some of them don't. Some of them don't because they keep on trusting in themselves. The answer to worry and the answer to the problems and the answer to the pains, the answer to the predicaments is to trust in the Lord God. And we need to begin trusting Him with our lives. You do that by saying, Lord, have mercy upon me. I am a sinner. I've been so self-focused. I only care about myself. Yeah, I care about the people just around me, immediate family, but I really care about myself. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Christ came, took my sins, my big sin of being self-oriented, living for myself. He'll save us from ourselves. He delivers us from ourselves. He saves us from all our sins. Amen. Let's pray.